am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing.
So generous in the way that I would do full-time work, and then I would do full-time courting. I would drive over to North Delta and woo my wife-to-be, and then I'd come home at about 11 at night, and I'd throw in Lord of the Rings first one, and I'd listen to it in the background as I worked away until about whatever, 12:31 in the morning, and I'd do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. And then once a year for a whole month, I'd live on the island. And there I was, surrounded by Hatley Castle, incredible Japanese, Italian gardens. It's just incredible. Ocean view. And there is where I took some further education. It was kind of neat because I was baptized into that culture of Royal Roads University. And not only that, I was actually then, when I graduated, baptized into their alumni. And I was thinking about that lately. I'm sure many of you are alumni of something or somewhere. But when it comes to Royal Roads University, I am not a very good alumni because I get emails, but I really delete them, and I don't really pay attention, and I never attend anything. But yet, I'm baptized within it. I am identified with Royal Roads, but I don't take advantage of any of the benefits that that might offer me, nor do I use that to encourage other students to go and all that stuff. I sometimes wonder if that's how it's like when it comes to our baptism of the Spirit. We're identified, kind of, with the Holy Spirit. We're identified with the church, but we feel no zing. We feel no power. We don't take advantage of the benefits of having a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We're baptized into it, but what does it mean? I think all of us have a longing for that. In fact, I was very moved as I watched a movie for another time, and I'm going to keep watching the movie over and over again. But it's a story of Rich Mullins, and Rich Mullins had a huge impact on me as I was growing up. He's the guy that wrote Awesome God, Our God is an Awesome God, or Step by Step. Incredible stuff. He wrote stuff for Amy Grant, and he was just one of those guys that did not want to be captured by popularity and all that stuff. In fact, when he started making a ton of money and he never figured out how much he made, all he asked was, what's the average American salary? Pay me that. And then he told his accountant, get rid of the rest. And then he went and lived barefoot on a Navajo reserve. So this guy intrigues me to this day. And one of the things that spoke to me a lot in his life was he was a bit of a tortured soul. He was baptized into the family of God, but he still did not have all his stuff together. He was baptized, he knew God, he knew Jesus Christ, absolutely adored him and thought, people need to understand how much God loves us. But yet, he was a tortured soul. He had a poor relationship with his dad, which finally at one point he left Nashville and he moved to Wichita or wherever it was, to be with another family because he so respected their dad and wanted to learn from that dad. And I wonder if all of us actually have that kind of longing to belong. Rich, it was all over his life and ministry. He wanted to belong. He knew he was in the family of God, but yet he wrote these sometimes dark songs and sometimes growing songs and sometimes songs with question marks, ecclesiastical kind of songs. And yet he wanted to belong. He knew he belonged, but he didn't always feel it. So even in his earthly life, he didn't feel it from his dad. So he moved in with somebody else because he wanted to belong. And I wonder, do you feel that too sometimes? I wonder sometimes if we know that we belong, but we don't feel that we belong. And I'm hoping that today, that there's a chance that we can understand what it means to be baptized in the Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. And what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? What in the world does it mean to have a relationship with Him that we can actually grow or have more of the Spirit or less of the Spirit or grieve the Spirit? Does He dwell in us? So let's invite the Spirit to do a work in our hearts this morning. Lord God Almighty, I'm thankful for the worship team. They sure chose some great songs this morning, and they entered into worship, and that sure helped me this morning. How great thou art, and the great I am. That's such a spooky title for me, the great I am. The great lion, who's not safe, but he's good. And you know, this morning, I really hope that we just get a little bit of a glimpse of what it means to belong, to be baptized by the Spirit of God, to have a good relationship so that we're growing, to understand the Spirit of God is for us, not against us. So give us a glimpse this morning. And if we know these answers already, I pray that You'd also help us to sense and feel these answers so that we can have victory in our life with Jesus. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit? I think a lot of our different backgrounds gives us a lot of different information into this. If you come from more a reform background or maybe a more dispensational background, or if you've come from a charismatic background, you might have all the different sides to this, what it means to be baptized in the Spirit. But yet, as myself and Oren and Tennyson and Weston were talking a bit, the Evangelical Free Church is quite a big tent. So we have people that would be hardcore charismatic to all over here, people that would love for me to preach more Reformed doctrine, to the good old Mennonites are over here that are more Arminian and all that stuff. But yet in between, what really does it mean and what's really important to understand about being baptized in the Spirit? And I'm hoping we get that today. I'm hoping that we understand what it means to relate to the Spirit of God. And as I go through Scripture, it's kind of interesting because it seems that the being baptized in the Spirit is a completed experience when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And I want you to hear that today. And I'm going to hopefully make sense of it for you. Because last year we said the Holy Spirit of God is not an it. He is a he. He is a person. He's not a thing. You can't grab more of it. You can't coerce it. You can't go to the Holy Spirit of God and somehow try and make it do what you want it to do. Because it is a he. A person of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 30 says this. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 30 says this. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. We're all made to drink of one Spirit. Over here, it's interesting because the wording that's used here, as you can even tell from the English, he says, we were baptized. We were all baptized. It's a done deal. So often it's burdensome to me when I find somebody that isn't having victory and they go somewhere and they wonder, maybe I haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, you have. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit when you've said, God, I can't do this anymore. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and my shortcomings and my sin. And I want you to be Lord of my life. There's so many things that happen in the spiritual realm when you actually submit yourself to Jesus Christ. And one of them is that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You're baptized into the body of Christ. The verb tense in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, like I said, is the past tense. It's a done deal. It speaks of a completed experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit's for us today. And it's placing us as new Christians into the invisible body of Christ. That doesn't mean just White Rock Community Church. That means that you're placed into the body of Christ no matter where you travel in this world. You're a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And nowhere in the epistles, which means nowhere in the books like that Paul has written, nowhere in the teaching books of the New Testament, are we exhorted to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a done deal. It's over. I love what Oswald Sanders has to say about it. He points out four facts from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. He says, everybody, every believer, every one of us has been baptized. We are all baptized in the Spirit. Secondly, he says the experience is in the past tense. It's a completed transaction. Thirdly, he says the function of this baptism is to place us as believers into how many bodies? One body. And that's a sermon in itself. So that's why you might notice, even on a Sunday morning, we constantly pray for other churches, other evangelical free churches, but other churches around here. We just ask that the Lord is present and is proclaimed at the Village, at White Rock Baptist, at the Presbyterian Church, at the Charismatic Church, at the Pentecostal Church down the road. We want our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are, to continue to grow and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, he says, it unifies believers, canceling all differences of race, color, or politics. Being baptized into the body of Christ, it unifies believers, canceling all differences of race, color, or politics. Because of the gift of the Spirit, which is received at conversion, we're all members of one body, so therefore, race, social status, wealth, whatever, male, female, we're together in the body of Christ. Piper says this about the Holy Spirit. The only two writers in the New Testament who refer elsewhere to the phrase baptized with the Spirit are Luke, in the book of Acts, and Paul in 1 Corinthians. Luke refers to it twice, quoting John each time, Acts 1 verse 5 and 11 verse 16, and Paul refers to it once, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, which we're looking at right now. But Piper goes on to say, but I don't think Paul and Luke use this phrase to refer to the same thing. Isn't that interesting? So if today you might be disagreeing with me or wondering, this is uncomfortable because I'm from a charismatic background, or I'm from a Mennonite background, I'm from a Reformed background. Well, I think we're okay. We're in good company, because if Luke and Paul didn't use the term totally in the same way, I think we're okay then. So Paul and Luke use this phrase to refer to this. I don't think they refer to the same thing. For Paul, it is virtually identical to being regenerated or having a new birth or coming to Christ. So therefore, you're not no longer serving Steve. It's now serving Jesus Christ in my life. So we've been changed, transformed. That's how Paul was using it. And for Luke, it's essentially the same as being filled with the Spirit, and refers to that first introductory experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. So one guy used it more for coming to Christ, baptized into this new relationship with Jesus, and the other one's more baptized by being filled with the Spirit of God. And like I said, if we're in good company, if these two sharp guys that were used to write the Bible also used it in different ways. Not only are we baptized into the Spirit, but we're baptized into one Spirit, which is really exciting. And it's interesting, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1, says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, therefore, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling with which you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every opportunity to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 4 verse 5 again says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So hopefully you're seeing it there, that there's a one-time deal here where you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and that being you're baptized into the invisible church, or the church worldwide, into the Church of Christ. And then, just for a little plug, we also pay attention to or subscribe to water baptism. And water baptism, which some of you perhaps will do this next year, is when you come up here and I get to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then psh, you go down, which is a fantastic symbol of what has already happened through this baptism of the Spirit. It's already happened in your heart, and now it's an outward symbol of what already has happened, that you have died with Christ and you rose again in new life. So I can tell by your faces that you're just like, oh, this is incredible. You're so pumped to be baptized in the Spirit. But if you're like so many of the conversations I've had, many people wonder, well, can I have more of the Spirit then? So what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit? Perhaps that means that I can constantly be baptized or be baptized more, or can I have more of the Spirit than Dale or whatever it might be? Great question. Great question. In Ephesians 5 verse 8, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Do not be drunk with on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians. And what this means is, it's a very strong New Testament command. It says, be controlled. You know that if you've been drinking too much or you've been using some kind of substance overboard, that it can take you over and it can control you. So that can mean outside of pharmacy, or it can even mean pharmaceutical. Whatever that is, so often we use things, and here it's using the example of drunkenness, that when you're drunk, when you're laid out or whatever, you do things because you're controlled by the booze. I have friends that have gotten very angry and short when they have too much to drink, or some people that turn into clowns when they have too much to drink. At the end of the day, you are controlled by that substance. And he's saying here, I don't want you to be controlled by anything except the Spirit of God. So you can sit here all day and go, well, that shows that we should not drink. Is that the point of this scripture? The point of the scripture is, don't be controlled by anything or anybody except the Holy Spirit of God. And the people said, do not be filled with anything or controlled or be drunk by anything except the Spirit of God. The original Greek language is the imperative progressive. It means keep on being filled. So this might actually give you a hint of, can you have more of the Spirit, or can you be rebaptized? And what I'm hoping you understand today is, the terms baptized doesn't mean that you're constantly filled. There's other terms for that. When you're baptized in the Spirit, boom, you have this experience where the Holy Spirit of God is available to you, and he puts you into the church universal. And now we are filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God can take control of our life. It can take control of our decisions. It can take control of my responses. It can take control of my thoughts. I can be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever experienced that? Or let me ask you a question. Have you ever been directed by your own thoughts? I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at directing myself. And sometimes I feel like it's a benefit, and most times I go, this is not good. What have I done? And it's interesting, because over and over and over again, if I hang out with older people, and I might be talking about a rebellious son, I might be talking about a feeling that I have that I don't like, I might be talking about a relational difficulty, I might be, every time that I talk to a mature believer in Christ, they don't say something like, well, you need to read more, or you need to set up counseling more, or you need to, you know what the answer is? Pray more. And do I mean when I pray more, I'm more powerful than you? No. I think really what that is, it just shows my dependence on the Holy Spirit of God, and I bend my will to his. And it's interesting. I don't know if you've been there, but there's been times in my life where I felt like, ah, and within moments of me just, shut up, Steve. Take a deep breath. And I might even say, God. And I instantly feel that he wants to be there for me. that he wants to control my life, that he wants to bring peace to my situation, that he wants to equip me for this marriage, for this life, for this parenting. The Holy Spirit of God wants to take control of your life. You know, I get to go to Otter Lake sometimes, and what's kind of cool is it's about a 19-kilometer bike ride around Otter Lake. I love it, but I'm not going to lie. I'm aware of bears. So I don't know about you, but I just don't feel like being nibbled on by a bear. Bears or cougars, whatever that might be. So I love it, but I always have in the back of my mind, like, oh, man. If a bear's hungry, gee whiz, I hope there's somebody else that's tastier on the trail. But so often, I'm the only guy on that trail. So one of the things that I get to bring with me is a can of bear spray or bear mace. So I take that puppy out, and I might look at the expiration date, and I look, okay, I got to pull the red pin and then make sure I'm not pointing it at myself. Can you imagine? Point it at the bear as he's coming toward me, shoot out the cloud, and then run or whatever it might be. Let me tell you, if there's two cans of bear mace sitting there, if you're in my shoes, and you see one here that's still in the wrapper, that's 100% full, and you see the expiration dates, it's all good, and over here you see one that's been half used, which one are you going to take on your trail ride today? Go ahead, tell me. Are you going to take the half full one or the full one? Think about that for a second. Half full? I'm not going with you then. But think about that for a second. When it comes to things as simple as our own safety here on earth, we want something that isn't half used or might be almost empty or whatever it is. You want something that's full. Do we have that same desire with the Holy Spirit of God? How many of us are walking around half empty? How many of us are walking around depleted? E is on our gas tank. We're not going to lose the Spirit of God. We're not like Psalm 51 where David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We're in the New Testament times here now, and we have the Spirit of God. So you don't have to go, the Spirit's gone. No, he's there. But could it be that you are not filled with the Spirit of God? You're not experiencing his power in your life. You're not experiencing his control in your life because you're half depleted. You don't have a powerful Christian life. You don't have victory because you're on empty. Another person spoke of the occupancy of a house. The Spirit might be kept as a guest on the porch, but never given control of the kitchen, of the bedroom, of the living room, or the den. The Spirit may reside, but not preside. As he said, he simply might be a resident instead of not the president of your life. And last week we established, you guys, that the Holy Spirit is not an it. You can't grab it. You can't grab the Holy Spirit and say hocus pocus or whatever it might be. It is a he. It is a him. It is a person. You cannot control him. You cannot buy him. You cannot bargain for him. You cannot barter for him. And that's why it's interesting, and I'm going to remind you of something I said last week from Alvin Douglas. He says, the doctrine of the personality of the Holy Spirit is also of the highest importance from a practical standpoint. If we think of the Holy Spirit only as an impersonal power of influence, then our thought will constantly be, how can I get a hold of and use the Holy Spirit? But if we think of him in the biblical way as a divine person, infinitely wise, infinitely holy, infinitely tender, then our thought will constantly be, how can the Holy Spirit of God get a hold of me and use me? So it's not me getting more of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit getting more of me. There's a big difference there. How can the Holy Spirit get a hold of me? So not only were we baptized and can we be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, but we can be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. And if we can be filled by the Holy Spirit of God, we need to also touch on this, that we can also grieve the Holy Spirit of God, stifle the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and we can ignore the Holy Spirit of God, and we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. So we're exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. Grieve not or quench not the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, "Do not grieve the Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So here we saw already that we need to be controlled by the Spirit. He's in us. We're baptized. So we have the Holy Spirit, or hopefully he has us. But how much of us does he own? And it's interesting because it seems like the wording that he uses here, it means keep on being filled. So maybe that's what we're after. We're going, man, I just felt such victory yesterday, and today I feel so blah. I'm so angry today. Well, guess what? The wording that he's using is constantly be filled by the Spirit of God. So you cannot live on the fumes of your journal. You cannot live on the fumes of yesterday, because today is a new day, and you need to be filled by the Spirit of God today. Be filled by the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, verse 30 says of Ephesians 4. Whom you were sealed for by in the day of redemption. And this is interesting. Verse 31 and 32 tell us how to do that. Verse 31, or sorry, 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31 gives us the answer. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So the Holy Spirit of God is also going to equip you to deal with all that stuff that you're so tempted to sweep under the rug. And one of the ways that we quench the Holy Spirit or we limit the Holy Spirit is grabbing onto these things that bug us or that person that bugs us or the unforgiveness in our heart or lack of love, lack of kindness. And we grab that stuff and that limits the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So oftentimes it seems that even in my life, I might be low on the Holy Spirit of God, or I might be not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because there might be areas in my life where I have sin, or number two, where I've just said, I got a better idea, Holy Spirit, and I don't go with his advice or his prompting. I don't obey. I don't listen. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63, verse 10 says, the Israelites rebelled against God and grieved the Spirit. Interesting. So many years earlier, the Israelites in the rebellion, they rebelled against God and grieved the Spirit of God. My friends, when we disobey the Holy Spirit, not only are we not growing, but you're ripping off your family. You're ripping off your coworkers. You're ripping off your spouse. You're ripping off your church. You're ripping off the family or the body of Christ. If you sit there and think, well, whatever, you're being selfish. Because it's not just about you. This is about you and the Holy Spirit of God filling your life. When you're doing that, you're functioning on all eight cylinders, which means you'll have a better marriage, which means you'll have a better relationship with your kids, which means you'll have a better relationship at work, which means you'll have a better relationship here at church. That doesn't mean everything's honky-dory, but I mean, if that person over there is one cylinder, have you ever been on a vehicle? Come on my boat sometime. My boat's pretty good at not working on all cylinders. Right? And this summer, actually, this thing works horrible. And we didn't realize that the cap was off or broken off on two of the spark plugs. So it's a four-cylinder, and it was worse than usual. It doesn't work. It doesn't reach its full potential. But let me tell you, my friends, when we figured it out and we got all the electrical property on that boat, that brought a lot of smiles and a lot of joy to a lot of kiddos. It was working at its full potential. But when not, I'll sell it to you. When we disobey the Holy Spirit of God, it's not just about us not growing. You are stifling the growth of the relationships around you. I love what Jesus says in John 7. I used to almost have this memorized, but I don't anymore. Here it is, John 7. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from innermost being will flow streams of living water," or rivers of living water. But to this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is before Jesus took off on them and sent the Holy Spirit. But still a principle incredible for us to see today, in that he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He's sending the Holy Spirit of God. So when we have the Holy Spirit of God, when we're filled by the Spirit of God, it seems as though we get this word picture of not only will our lives make more sense as we're following the lead of the Holy Spirit, but now we're going to spill out like a river in spring that spills out over its banks and starts to affect other people all around us. And I love this because then I'm not so worried about my influence on Karen or how I need to go and visit Caroline or whatever, because I'm led by the Spirit. I'm spilling out because I'm being filled by the Spirit, and now I'm starting to splash onto you. That doesn't mean I don't pray for his direction and stuff, but I love this because then I'm not so enamored with, oh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I? Well, let's start off with, be filled with the Spirit of God. And as you go about your day, the Spirit of God will lead you. He will direct you. He'll correct you. He'll move you. He'll convict you. And he will use you, the Spirit of God. So I want to leave you with this. Friends, you are baptized into the Church of Christ. You belong here. Some of you may need to hear that again. You belong. You belong. We all need the Spirit to take control of our lives. Every day. Not just once. He is changing you. He is changing me. He is changing us. We also, all of us, need to be honest so as not to grieve the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it affects everything and it affects everyone. And when we're in tune with the Spirit of God and what he wants to do in us and through us, my friends, we are going to spill out onto other people, and other people will be drawn to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. On that last day, that great day of the feast, he stood up and he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Are you thirsty this morning for more of the Holy Spirit? Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon us and you'd give us a real sense of belonging this morning. I don't care how messed up we think we are this morning. If we have asked Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and we haven't have this initiated relationship with Jesus, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us, putting us into the body of Christ. If somebody here this morning is struggling with belonging, if somebody here this morning is like Rich Mullins, is just dying to belong to a family, Lord, we are available today to be the family. Speak to that person who's struggling to belong. And Father, if some of us have been involved in sin, if we've been rebelling against the Holy Spirit, if we've been saying no, if we have a flippant attitude, I don't care what the Spirit of God says, I pray that this morning that you would be with that person, you would convict that person and help that person, Lord, to be empowered with a yes. Help that person to be empowered with the realization that because they belong and because the Holy Spirit is for them, that they would, Lord, be able to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I want to obey. What do you have for me today?" And then, Father, I just do really pray for me and for my friends here this morning that you would fill us up. That, Father, we would no longer grieve you, or we would be quick to understand when we've quenched or grieved you, and that, Lord, our desire would be to be filled by you. Because what would it look like? Really, what would it look like in our church and in our community, in politics, at the supermarket, if we're a bunch of Christians that actually believe this stuff and actually are moved and controlled and filled by the Spirit of God? Fill us, Lord Jesus. Fill us, Holy Spirit.